Morning. Today's daf in Zevachim is Chav Dalu. We're in Chav Gimel. Finishing up our sugya from yesterday, and then obviously we'll move on to today's sugya. Yesterday's sugya wrapping up is the sugya of a tamei being possible in doing the avoda. Cohen who has the who's in a state of tuma, so cannot do the avoda. And furthermore, if he does the avoda is mechulalas. That's what we learned back in the Mishnah, taking us all the way back to Tesvav and Beis. We've been on this Mishnah for some time now. Going unqualified, the Mishnah is making a really simple statement, and that is that a Kohen in a state of Tuma cannot do the Avodah. He is like any of the other Psalm that I mentioned in the Mishnah. He is like a Zar, like an Onin, like a Tul Yom, Mechus Kippur, Mechus Begadim, etc. Meaning like all these cases are possible from doing the Avodah, such a Kohen whose tummy is possible from doing the Avodah. And left unqualified, that would mean that a Kohen cannot do the Avodah, and regardless of what kind of tummy he has, Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Zava, or Tumas Zav, I should say better, Tumas Sheretz, Tumas Zav, Tumas Mace, doesn't matter. In other words, such a Kohen cannot do the Avodah. That's how we read the Mishnah, that's how we understood the Mishnah, and having no Gemara, that would have been the correct conclusion. However, the Gemara opened up yesterday with the Sugya of Ziknei Darim. Ziknei Darim, the elders of the South, some obscure reference to a group of Chachamim who lived down in the south. Not even. That's why you can. You know, I'm only equipped with so much information. Meaning, all I got for you is that there's Ziknei Darim. You know, I appreciate you want to know more. I can't give you more. I don't even know. Here we go. I'll tell you what I don't even know. I don't even know if they're Tanaim or if they're Amoraim. Now, Reish Lakish argues with them, which gives us the impression that they are Amoraim, but okay, what can I tell you? I don't know. Ziknei Darim comes along, and Ziknei Darim say that when the Mishnah describes the Tameh being unable to do the Avodah, that's only Tumas Sheretz. But Tameh Mace, so a Tameh Mace can do the Avodah. Kohen Tameh Mace can do the Avodah. Now, even in their position of Ziknei Darim, let's just make this point really clear. That doesn't mean that lechatchila they can do the avodah. Obviously not. They can't go into the azara in the state of being tamei meis. And anything they come into contact with is going to be tamei. So they're creating probably more problems than they are solutions. But so it's, even in their position, practically speaking, it doesn't mean that it's a position that should be endorsed, advocated, and followed through with. But at least, they're of the opinion that if a tamei meis were to do the avodah is not psula, and the owner of that carbon now receives a check in his box. Was my carbon offered? Yes. Okay. Can I eat it? The answer is going to be no. In other words, but he gets a check in the box for having brought the carbon is in fact accomplished if done by tamei meis. Now that runs counterintuitive for a lot of reasons, and the Gemara yesterday went on a back and forth between Ziknei Darim and Reish Lakish. The Ziknei Darim made the argument that, well, you know, when it comes to Tumas Meis, some Tumah Hushra B'tzibur, meaning we know that there are allowances, dispensation as it relates to Tumas Meis. Now, granted, that's by Karban Tzibur and that's by the people, but still, at least we see that there are allowances when it comes to Tumas Meis, so if a Kohen does the Avodah, so there's going to be an allowance there as well. And so the Kohen does the Avodah will not be Mechulal, the Avodah would be fine. It would be Bidiyavit acceptable. Reish Lakish, throughout the Sugya yesterday, could not tolerate such a position. The Gemara said that he had strong reaction to the opinion of Ziknei Darim, and Reish Lakish says it just simply can't be. Can't be that somebody who's tamei meis on an individual basis can't offer a karban, and somehow you want to tell me now that a Kohen who's tamei meis, he can actually facilitate and offer the karban? Like, it just simply can't be. And Reish Lakish rejects out of hand the position of Ziknei Darim. Now, the Reish Lakish is asking a really strong question, meaning an individual who is Tamei Meis can't offer the Karban Pesach, and now you want to tell me that the Kohen, as a Tamei Meis, can offer the Karban Pesach? That seems, Reish Lakish seems to be correct. And in defense of Ziknei Darim, the Gemara said yesterday, well, they happen to be of the opinion that a Tamei Meis can offer Karban Pesach. Now, Tamei Meis can offer Karban Pesach. We're not talking about a Tamei Meis whose seventh day occurs on the 14th day of Nisan, because that's the Sheretz discussion. And there's room to argue and equivocate. We're talking about a Tamei Meis who's going to be Tamei not only on Erev Pesach, but on the first day of Pesach as well. And Ziknei Darim says such an individual can bring Karban Pesach. Now that's really hard to understand, and the Gemara really struggled yesterday because how could that be? Meaning, isn't there something called Pesach Sheni? And isn't Pesach Sheni specifically for that person? That was the whole design of Pesach Sheni. It was for those individuals who were Tamei Meis. So Gemara went back and forth, but ultimately Ziknei Darm stuck to their guns, and they insist that no, meaning of course, in other words, somebody's Tamei Meis, you should go to Pesach Sheni. But Lu Yitzu, but had he brought a carbon on Pesach Rishon, and when I said he brought a carbon, meaning he was Meshalech the carbon with somebody else, and the carbon was brought on his behalf, so it would work even for somebody who's Tamei Meis. Okay. And then the Gemara went back and forth, and we quoted Bryce's yesterday, supporting Ziknei Darim against Ziknei Darim. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to finish up the sugya of this topic, and then obviously we'll continue. So we are in the very bottom of Chav Gimel Amud Aleph, Tashma. The Gemara now quotes a brisa of Venasa Aaron is Avona Kadashim. Aaron is going to bear the Avona Kadashim. Now we know, in other words, based on the Torah Ba'peh, based on the Lachem Moshe Mitzrayim, that the pasuk over here is talking about the tzitz, meaning that by Aaron HaKohen wearing the tzitz on his head, so he's going to be able to burden the Avona Kadashim, some sort of psul. Now we don't know from the pesukim what kind of psul we're talking about. V'chi eza avonos say, which then prompts the Gemara to ask the question: What are we talking about? We turn to the Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Im avon pegel harei kvar nemar lo yichashev. Now if it's pegel, the Torah says no, pegel's no good. Meaning the psul of pegel is disqualifying. Period. And im avon nosar kvar nemar lo yiratzah. And if we're talking about nosar, now nosar in this context is not nosar in its classic sense, meaning carbon left over, because the Gemara quotes the pasuk of Lo Yiratzeh. Lo Yiratzeh is going back on Pigel. So Rashi over here says that Nosar over here just simply means that you thought to eat it beyond its allotted time. And so, but isn't that the same thing as Pigel? So Rashi says, no, Pigel in this context, in this Gemara, means eating it beyond its allotted space, meaning Chutz L'Mekomo versus Chutz L'Zmano. But both comments are making a reference to Pigel. The point simply being that when the Torah says Vinasa Avona Kadashim, it's somehow the tzitz is going to be able to burden shoulder some of the psulim. It can't be talking about pigol. Nachos Uzmano, Nachos Mkama. We know the Torah says Lo Yiratzeh. It's simply unacceptable. In other words, it's pasul. Ha'eno Nosei Alav Antoma Shehotcher Michlala B'Tzibur. So the Gemara says, so what can the tzitz overcome? What can it shoulder? What can it bear? It can bear the Avon, the psul of Tuma. Why? Shehutra Mechala B'Tzibur. Now the Bryce over here says because we know that there are allowances by Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. So since there are allowances of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, i.e. by Karban Tzibur, so that means to say now that if the tzitz is gonna be able to move something off of its normal position, well, since anyway Tumah gets moved off of its position by Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur, so too, the tzitz is going to be maratza under certain circumstances. Now, my tumah. Okay, good. So far, quite frankly, we haven't learned anything new. Meaning, the braisa is the same point that we made yesterday, that the tzitz is able to push tumah through. But what kind of tumah are we talking about? Elam tumah sheretz heichishtari. So the Gemara says, are we talking about tumah sheretz? Meaning, where is there an allowance of tumah sheretz? Rhetorical question. Of course, there is no allowance of tumah sheretz. El Tumas Meis. So we're talking about Tumas Meis. V'lavka gon shenit mubalim b'meis. And it must be talking about where the owner of the carbon is tamei now with Tumas Meis. Ama nit mubalim b'meis mashachin carbon asayim. So the Gemara says, and, again, the Gemara is just now going on one speculative point after another. So we're talking about Tumas Meis. The owner of the carbon is tamei Meis. And under what circumstances? Uvamai iba nazir v'chiyamus Meis alavam rechmana. So we're talking about a nazir. What do you mean? By a nazir, the whole reason why a nazir would be bringing a karban is because he has resolved his tumas meis issue. Meaning, we can't be talking about a nazir because there's no allowance for a nazir with tumas meis. In fact, just the opposite. That's why he's no longer a nazir, and that's why he's got to start his count again. And he only starts his count again when he becomes no longer a tumas meis. So we're not talking about nazir. So ela laose pesach. So it must be talking about someone who's an ose pesach. Someone who's about to bring carbon Pesach, he's Tamei Meis, and here's what the Brisa is teaching us, that even though, yes, you should be pushed off to Pesach Sheni, but Lu Yitzu had he brought his carbon on Pesach Rishon, so it works. And if all this is correct in the Brisa, now granted, we made a lot of points of assumptions, but if all this is correct in the Brisa, so we now have a support for Ziknei Darom, that even as a tummy mace, you can bring a carbon Pesach. Meaning, no. Even, the Gemara acknowledged yesterday, even within Ziknei Darim's argument, not lechatchila, meaning it's Pesach Sheni, but b'di'evin. So the Gemara says la'olam b'sheretz. So the Gemara says no. We're talking about sheretz, meaning the Brisa's point, meaning we're going to go all the way back to our first assumption. We're not talking about tumas sheretz. And the Gemara says, no, we are talking about tumas sheretz. Meaning, I know you couldn't accept that earlier, but now the Gemara says, yeah, but accept, we can accept it. And v'shem tumah ba'olam. And when we were saying tumah over in the Brisa, the Brisa was just speaking in the most generic sense. Meaning, well, let's take a look at the category of tumah. Meaning, remember, we're comparing one psil carbon to another psil carbon. Pigel? Can't be pigel. Why? Lo yiratzeh, because the Torah says it's unacceptable. So now let's go to another category, the category of tumah. You're right. In the case of tumah sheretz, is there an allowance for tumah sheretz? There's no allowance for tumah sheretz. But we're not talking specifically about tumah sheretz, we're talking about the general category of tumah. In the category of tumah, there are allowances, there are heterim. So therefore, if the tzitz is going to push anything off of its position, it'll push off the category of tumah. The Gemara now is going to just have another way of presenting basically the same point, and that is Avon HaKadoshim in Avon Makdishim lo. As far as the Avon HaKadoshim, yes, as far as the Avon HaMakdishim, no. So the Gemara says we're making a distinction between the carbon and the person bringing the carbon. So my tuma. Now, we're saying that as far as what's going to be pushed off, tumah's going to get pushed off. What kind of tumah? Ilema tumah sheretz mishtariya betzibur. Tumah sheretz, is that going to be mutter betzibur? Meaning, if the majority of the Jewish people are tameh, can we bring carbon Pesach? No, it's only for tumas meis. So alalav tumas meis. It must be talking about tumas meis. Avon kadoshin in avon makdishim lo. And again, we're going to go back to the diuk of it's only talking about the carbon, not talking about the people. So what are we now saying? We're saying that if the owner of the carbon is tameh meis, he can't bring the carbon Pesach. If this is the correct way to understand the Braisa, so now it's not only not a support for Ziknei Darim, it's a question against Ziknei Darim, because now the way we're reading the Braisa is that a Tameh Meis can't bring the carbon Pesach, and now we go all the way back to Reish Lakish's point to Ziknei Darim. Right? Tameh Meis can't bring the carbon Pesach, and you're telling me that a Kohen who's Tameh Meis can do the Avoda? It's an unacceptable position. So the Gemara says again, lo la'olam tumah sheretz v'shem tumah ba'olam. And again, the Gemara deflects and the Gemara says, look, we are talking about tumah sheretz. There's no exception, there's no exclusion for tumah sheretz. You're right, there's no exclusion. We weren't talking about tumah sheretz per se, we were talking about the category of tumah. There are notable exceptions in the category of tumah, which allows now the tzitz to push off some forms of tumah. Okay, adkan. Takes us to the end of the sugya. So where do we end on this? The Gemara does not have a resolution, meaning that when the Mishnah says that a Tameh can't do the Avodah, the Mishnah seemingly says any Kohen who's Tameh with any kind of Tumah cannot do the Avodah, and furthermore, the Avodah is Mechulalas. And so in the last off, meaning from Chav Beis Amud Beis until right here, Chav Gimel Amud Beis, so the Gemara deliberates between Ziknei Darim and Reish Lakish. Ziknei Darim of the opinion, a Tameh Meis may b'di'evah do the Avodah, Tameh Meis Kohen can do the Avodah. The avoda is kshera, but of course only b'di'evah, not lechatchila. And Reish Lakish flatly disagrees. Nope. In other words, a kohen who's in any state of tuma, be it mace or zav or sheretz, cannot do the avoda. And if he does the avoda, the avoda is mechulalas. Position accepted by the Rambam is Reish Lakish over that of the Ziknei Darim. Your question is good. I assume also like Reish Lakish, and not like, I didn't look it up, but I assume that's like Reish Lakish as well.
It might be a logic for that if one of the people that registered is not knowing, then it would affect everybody else, because then everyone...
That's a different discussion. That's the Tumas at home discussion of not knowing. Right, but that okay. That's off to the side in terms of just the Gemara's discussion. Gemara's discussion was just what Cohen can do the avoda in what state of tumah. Okay, and the conclusion seems to be that no, it can't do the avoda under any circumstance, and the avoda would be mechulalas. Okay, we're up to the next case of the Mishnah and Yoshev. The Mishnah talks about a Kohen who's sitting. In general, by the way, just another general point before we start the sugya of Yoshev, you know you're not allowed to sit in the Azara. Well, I don't know if you know that, but it's true. You're not. The Gemara says in a number of places that there's only one allowance for someone to sit in the Azara. And oddly enough, it's not a Kohen. Who could sit in the Azara? A king. Okay, right, the only one who has the right to sit in the Azara is Ben David, anyone who is a descendant of the Davidic dynasty. They can sit in the Azara. No one else can sit in the Azara. So, okay, but our discussion over here is more than just not being able to sit. In other words, what if a Kohen does the Avoda in the sitting position? And what we're going to learn all together now is that, we already learned in the Mishnah, we're just going to explore it a little bit more, is that the Avoda is psula. The Avoda is disqualified. How do we know that? Minolan. That's the Gemara's question. And this is where we pick up. We're in Chav Gimel Amud Beis. We're halfway down the Amud at the two dots. So Amar Rav, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Kar, La Amud L'Sharev, La Amidah B'chartiv L'Li Shiva. So the Pasuk, when describing the Kohanim, says that he's going to be in a standing position. Okay, now, be that in of itself, that really is, at this point in time, insufficient. Because in other words, it just tells us what the preferred position is, but we have to go one step further. We're going to learn together that it's the Avodah Mechulalas. Stay tuned. Tana Rabbanan. Lama L'Sharev Mitzvah. So it says Lama L'Sharev, so that gets us to step one. Preferably, the Kohen should be standing. But we're saying more than that, and the Gemara makes this point right now. Kishu Omer Ha'omedim Shana Lavakasav La'akev. So when it says Ha'omedim a second time, so now we have repetition. And throughout Seder Kachim, here we are in Zvachim. And I know we made this point before, and we're going to make this point a number of times throughout the Masechta. And that is that when the Torah repeats itself by Seder Kachim, by anything that has to do with the Karban and Mizbeach, so that's Li'ikuva. It means that it's an essential, it's critical. So it's not enough that it's just the Kohen's preferred position of doing the Avodah standing, but must do the Avodah while standing. Amalei Ravel Rav Nachman Michti Yoshev Hezar Dami. Umachal Avodah. So Rav says to Rav Nachman, let's think this through. Somebody sitting is like a Zar, it's like a non-Kohen. And Machal Avodah, and therefore the Avodah is Mechulalas. Ema Mazar B'Misav Yoshev B'Misa. So the Gemara says, well then let's bring it to its logical conclusion, which is, a Kohen doing the Avodah in the sitting position, not only did he forego a mitzvah, not only is the Avodah Mechulalas, but the Gemara says, let's bring it one more point, which is really its logical conclusion. You know, if a non-Kohen does the Avodah, Chayiv Misa Bidei Shamayim. Now granted, by the way, earlier in the Masechta we pointed out, it's not for every Avodah, it's limited to the number of Avodahs, but still, there is a punishment to Misa Bidei Shamayim, so why don't we say the same thing regarding a Kohen doing the Avodah while sinning? In other words, it should bring about a punishment to Misa B'Dei Shemayim. Now, you'll tell me, okay, maybe that's right, but it's not right. Allah Matanya, the Gemara says, we have a Braisa. Aval Arel, Onein, Yoshev, Eina B'Misa, Ela B'Azara. We have a Braisa. The Braisa says that for a Kohen who is not circumcised, who is in a state of Aninus, or is sitting, is not subject to Misa B'Dei Shemayim, but rather Azara Ba'ama. Meaning it's a law, violating a law. But it's not Misa. And the question on the table right now is, why isn't there Misa B'Dei Shemayim? Aren't we saying that the Kohen sitting is not a Kohen, meaning he's basically a Zar, and so therefore it should be Misa B'Dei Shemayim? The Gemara's answer is, Mishum Davim, Mechus B'Gadam V'Shalom, Richutzi Adam V'Reglaim, Sheik Suvam Baim Ke'echan, V'Chol Shneik Suvam Baim Ke'echan Eimalan. The Gemara says, look, we have this idea, we have a principle called Binyanav. We see it time and again throughout Shas. Binyanav tells us that if the Torah sets the precedent, so then therefore you can assume that anything that's similar is also going to have the same halacha. Okay, that's Binyanav. If, however, you have Shnei Ksuvim, so now, if the Torah wanted to give us a general rule, tell us one time. If the Torah tells us two times, so that no longer is a general rule, but that's Shnei Ksuvim. Meaning these are the exceptions, not the rule. The Torah says that who is subject to Misa B'Dei Shemayim? A clothing was not wearing the required clothing, Mechus B'Gadim, and a Kohen who doesn't do Richus Yadayim V'Raglayim. And because of Shnei Ksuvim Baim Ke'echas Ohim Alamdin. Now the Gemara, let's just finish the Gemara, and then I'll turn to Rashi. The Gemara says, Alamand Amram Alamdim. Now there is an opinion throughout Shas. The Gemara always brings this up as a consideration. That there is one opinion, usually it goes unidentified whose opinion it is. But there is an opinion that says that two times is not an exception, but two times can also establish a rule. So the Gemara says, so what are you going to say now? Shitsu yain havalei shlishi v'shloshel divrei hakolei malamdim. There's a third time, meaning a Kohen going into the base of Mikdash while intoxicated, right, doing a voda under the influence. So for such a Kohen, that also brings about Misa B'Dei Shemayim, right? Nadav and Avihu are the, you know, are usually, the Torah doesn't tell us what they did wrong, but of one of the opinions of what they did, well, one opinion is that they went in intoxicated. But in any event, Shesui Yain is Chayv Misa, so now you have three, and according to everybody, three is not any rule, three is an exception. Okay. Adkan, that's the end of the sugya of the Gemara, vis-a-vis the source of Yoshev. Rashi over here really struggles with what we just learned together. Take a look at the top Rashi in Chavdal Amin Aleph. Rashi over here, you don't normally find Rashi writing like this, but listen to the way Rashi writes. Rashi, Shneksum Ambaim Ke'echad, Dibritar Vayuk, Siv Krai Lemisa B'Sanhedrin Be'elein and Nisrafin. Fine. Rashi just simply cites that the Gemara Sanhedrin tells us that if I have a Kohen who didn't wash his hands and feet, or a Kohen not wearing the requisite clothing, so he's subject to Misa B'Dei Shemayim. That's a given. Rashi says, V'tuva Kashili Be'gava. I really have difficulty with this entire sugya. Number one says Rashi, Chada. Demala Luma Mehem Hamisa Be'gufa Ksiv. Dekev Nezaru V'azar Karav Yumas. The Gemara says, look, we have a rule that Hazar HaKarev Yumas, that if they have a non-Kohen offering, doing the avodah, they're subject to Misa B'dei Shemayim. So in other words, we now know that the baseline is that anytime you have a non-Kohen doing the avodah, subject to Misa. In fact, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, that's how the Gemara knows that a Mechus B'gadim is subject to Misa, because when you're a Kohen, not dressed in your big day kahuna, you're not a Kohen. Right? We talked about this earlier in the Perek. So basically, that Kohen effectively is a Zar, and therefore subject to Misa B'dei Shemayim. So, Ein B'gdeim Aleim, Ein Kuhuna San Aleim. Rashi quotes it. Vavalu Zarim, and they're a Zar. And what bothers Rashi so much is, isn't the same thing true regarding Yoshev? Meaning Yoshev, you're not a Kohen when you're a Yoshev. So if you're not a Kohen when you're a Yoshev, so just like if you were a Kohen not wearing the Big Day Kuhuna, you have Zar status, and therefore you're subject to Misa B'dei Shemayim. So why don't we say the same thing regarding Yoshev? You're not in the Kohen position of standing, therefore you're a Zar, therefore you should be subject to Mitzvah B'dei Shemayim.
Is that the reason, because it's a Zar, that's why they get B'dei Shemayim, or because they were in France?
Without the Gemara Sanhedrin, you could make your argument. But the Gemara Sanhedrin clearly says it's because he's a Zar. The Odin, Rashi says, and I'll tell you another thing. The Odin, kin chil avodah lo nail of milay, debichol nami cry tuva ika. And the Gemara says, then look, if Shnei Ksuvim Amam Baim Ke'echad is telling us that, no, those are exceptions, so Rashi says, okay, Chil HaAvodah should also be an exception. Meaning only in limited places, but still there's more than one place where the Torah talks about the Avodah being Michulalas, so let's make now the argument that only in those places the Avodah is Michulalas. And meanwhile, by the Yoshev, Yoshev is in our Mishnah, which means that when a Kohen does the Avodah in the state of sinning, the Avodah is Michulalas. But Rashi says, but I don't get it. Shnei Ksuvim Amam Baim Ke'echad. Meaning you have multiple places in the Torah that says the Avodah is Mechulalas, and so therefore that shouldn't be extended to a Yoshev as well. So Rashi really struggles with the sugya. And more on this topic, which I'm not going to go through, but I'll tell you where to go, is take a look at the Bam Tosus on the previous Amud, where Tosus has basically deals with Rashi's questions, but introduces an entirely different girsa in our Gemara, in which then the Gemara reads a lot better. And then you're not fraught with the difficulties that Rashi raises on our sugya. So see Tosfos for more on that. We're in Chavdal Amin Aleph, where we are three lines down. Omer agabe kelim agabe behema agabe ragle chaver apostle. The Mishnah makes the points not once but three times over that you have to be standing on the ground, meaning on the stone floor of the Azara, and the Kohen's failure to stand on the stone floor of the Azara is that the Avodah is psul, and in the Mishnah talks about the Kohen standing on a kli, Kohen standing on the legs of an animal, or the Kohen standing on the legs of another Kohen. Minalan detalibe Rabbi Yishmael hol v'ritzba mikadeshes u'klishare mikadeshim. Ma klishare lo yedavar chotzes ben olavein klisharis, af ritzba lo yedavar chotzes ben olavein ha ritzba. The way Rashi explains the Gemara over here goes like this. How do I know that the Kohen's feet has to be on the floor? So we know it based on the following. We know that the klisharis goes through kedusha. In other words, we're maktish the klisharis. That's by definition what a klisharis is. Meaning it's not only a kli, but a kli invested with the kedusha by meshicha. In other words, by the anointing of the oil. So, and we also know that when handling the kli, the Kohen must handle it with his hands. In other words, there can be no chatzitza between his hands and the klisharis. Since the floor of the Azara is also gone through kiddush, and we'll talk more about that later in this daf, so therefore, when the Kohen's feet are on the floor, there has to be direct contact between the feet of the Kohen and the floor. That's the way Rashi understands the Gemara. I'll read the Gemara and then I'll give a different understanding of what we just went through. Utzricha. Now, as far as all the cases in the Mishnah are concerned, all three cases are necessary. The e ashmiin and kli mishum dalav minei the basa ninu. Look, when the coin's standing on the kli, so that you could easily see as a chatzitza, the kli is made up of another material other than flesh. Ava behemah the mina the basa who aim alone. But if the coin's standing on an animal, so you could at least make the argument that this is better because the coin's standing on basar. Not human basar, but still basar. And maybe that's not a chatzitza. V'yashmina behema delo mina de adam hu ava chavero, de adam hu emalo. And let's say that a behema is a chatzitza because it's not a min adam. But let's say the coin's standing on the feet of another coin. So maybe now it's min bimino. Now it's funny, we're not talking saying min bimino here in the context of tarovis, but we're saying min bimino in terms of chatzitza, meaning so maybe there can be now a connection between his feet and the floor. What's standing in the way? Someone else's feet, but someone else's feet still feet, and therefore it shouldn't be chatzitza. So tzricha. That's why all these cases in the Mishnah are necessary because each one introduces one chiddush over that of the other. Of course, if you work in the other direction, you could just simply give us the last example, which is the biggest chiddush. And then you'll know the other two. And maybe you could say, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say this, but the Gemara says, lo zu af zu. In other words, it's just simply the style of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is introducing us to every Chiddush building one on top of the other. Another way to read the Gemara that we just read, I presented the Gemara like Rashi. In other words, by klisharis there can be no chatzitza, so too by the floor there can be no chatzitza. So, and when we say klisharis, we were talking about the utensils on the base of Mikdash. Tosfos over here says there's another way to understand the Gemara, and that is that when we're talking about kli sharis over here, we could actually be talking about the big day kahuna. It's really nice. Meaning, according to Tosfos, we know that when the kohen wears the begadim, there can be no chatzitza between his body and the clothing. Meaning, that's the kli sharis that the Gemara is describing. And when we say that the clothing is mekadesh, what does that mean? It means that the clothing invests the kohen with kedusha. Meaning, part of how he became mekudash, meaning we're not talking about the kalim. We're talking about the kohen. Part of how he becomes mekudash is by wearing the clothing. So, and there could be no chatzitza between the clothing and him because it's the clothing that's investing, that's giving him the kedusha. Tosfos says same thing with the floor, meaning the floor is what is also generating the kedusha to the kohen that allows him to do the avoda. And since it's the generator, meaning electricity over here is just a great way to view these gemaras. So if the floor is giving him the kedusha, so therefore there can be no chatzitza because the floor is generating that kedusha that allows him to do the avoda. Okay. Right. In other words, right. In other words, they're right. So it's the way Tosfos understands it is that the ground is giving him kedusha, literally grounded. Okay. Tanya, the Gemara quotes now a brisa where in Chav Dalamid Aleph Tanya Rabbi Elazar Omer Ragla Achas Ala Kliv Ragla Achas Ala Ritzpa. Okay, Kohen right now is in a yoga position while doing the avoda. One foot on the floor and another foot on a kli. Good or not good? So, ragla achas al evan, ragla achas al ritzba. Bryce gives another example. But in any event, rowin kol she'ilu yinata al kli v'tinata al evan yachul amod ragla achas v'yavod avoda sakshira v'imlav avoda sapsua. And so the Bryce over here says it's really simple. If I remove the stone that's underneath the second leg, and he's still able to stand on the one leg, and he's demonstrating some excellent balance, so that avoda that he did was kasher. Meaning as long as that stone that was under his other leg wasn't absolutely necessary for him to stand, the avoda that he does is kasher. By Rabbi Amin Nildaldala Ha'evan, V'amar Aleha Mahu. Gemara entertains the following discussion. Let's say one of the stones is loose and is not securely attached in the ground. Right? By our pavers over here, so you find that often, that the stones get loose and they're not fully connected. Remember the Mishnah Shkalim? Right, it's a fun Mishnah over there. That Mishnah Shkalim describes how one of the Kohanim noticed that one of the stones seems to be slightly off base. And that Kohen then realized, I know what that is. In other words, that's the Aron was buried underneath that particular stone, and it was just that stone was just simply a trap door, so to say, to get to the Aron that was buried underneath. And the Mishnah reports, you remember this Mishnah, and the Mishnah reports how he was ready to tell other people, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevented him from telling other people, Of course, that meant that his life was terminated. But the okay, and then of course the follow up question of how do we know all this information? How do we know all this information? But okay, the Mishnah Shkalim. Anyway, if the stone is not connected to the ground, what would be the halacha? Look, if let's say the executive director of the Beis Hamikdash, right, one of the Gizbarim, if he says, you know what, we are not reattaching the stone, for whatever reason. He says, if we're not reattaching the stone, so then it's not even a shaila. For sure it's not going to be good. Kiti balach the daita lechaber. We're talking about a case where the executive director says, you know what, we're gonna put it back into the, we're gonna reconnect it back to the ground. My. Kevin the daita lechaber kamada mechaber damya, odima hashtamiya hatalisha. And the Gemara over here offers a really simple way to see both sides of this question. On one hand, the plan is to reset it back into the ground. On the other hand, that's the plan. Right now, it's not reset. Rabbi Zute by Lehachi. Now, Rabbi Zute has a similar discussion, but he asks it the way he has it formulated, slightly different. By Rabbi Aminekra Ivan v'Amad Bimkom Amahu. Over here, the question is like this. There was a stone in the base of Mikdash that was uprooted. And so basically, you have a divot right in the middle of the Azara. Okay, so in other words, it's basically just a... It's a pothole. A pothole in the Azara. So people from New York understand. So the we have potholes here? Yeah, okay, right. Sometimes. Okay, so Nekra Evan Vama Bimkomamahu. So my Kami Bayalay. So the Gemara says, so what exactly is the question over here? Now the Kohen is standing within the divot. So in other words, so he's in the Azara. But in other words, there's just simply no stone. So he's somewhat recessed now into the ground. So, but what's the question? Is the question, Ki Kaddish David Ritzbal Yona Kaddish Odema Ad La'aris Etam Kaddish? Look, we know that David HaMelech was Mekaddish the Azara. We know that David didn't build the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, that we know. But what he did is he laid the foundation. And not only did he lay the foundation, but he imbued it with Kedusha. Exactly how he imbued it with Kedusha, I could send you to Rashi right here, who sends us to the Gemara Shavuos. And also Tosus as well. First Tosus on the Amud, who has both of them briefly discuss exactly how and when David HaMelech was Mekadosh. But for our purposes right now, let's say that David was Mekadosh the Azara, and when he imbued Kedusha, was he just imbuing the Kedusha to the superficial level of the Azara, the floor level, but that's it? Or was he Makdish the ground and subterranean as well? V'tibay le'kol Azara kula. So the Gemara says, okay, now if this is the way you're framing the question, so why are you giving a convoluted question of one of the stones has been removed? Why don't we ask the question much more fundamentally? Why don't we ask the question if all the stones were removed? Can the Kohen do the avoda on basically the ground that's underneath the stone? So la'olam kaddish. So the Gemara said, I'm sorry, la'olam pshita lei da'ad are da'tahama kaddish. So the Gemara says, look, you're right. We don't have a question. We know that David HaMelech was makdish not only the stone floor but everything subterranean to that as well. V'hachi kami ba'elei derech sheres b'kach lein derech sheres b'kach teku. The Gemara says so. The question is not whether or not the ground underneath the stone has kedusha. It does have kedusha. Question on the table is this proper service? Meaning there is something called avoda, and doing the avoda requires a certain amount of honor, prestige, there's a certain way to do it. And if while standing in a ditch in the Azara, it could very simply be that that's not derech sheres. That's not the way to do service, and therefore, maybe it's no good. The Gemara leaves this question unresolved. The rest of today's daf is dedicated to the discussion of Kabbalah Sadaf, accepting the blood with your left hand. And this takes us to the end of the Mishnah. Okay, 10 dapim of Gemara since the Mishnah. The Mishnah back on Tezvav Amud Beis brings down a number of different cases where if the Kohen did the Avodah would be Psula, with one case, the last case of the Mishnah, where it's a machlokis between the Tanayim. And that is, let's say the Kohen does the Avodah, everything's good, he's wearing the clothing, he's standing, but he does the Avodah, specifically Kabbalah Zadam, with his left hand and not his right hand. Okay, we're going to learn together in Bechoros that a Kohen has to, by definition, has to be a right-handed individual. Being left-handed, no offense to the left-handed people in this world, right? You make great pictures, but the but you cannot you can't do the avoda. It's a mum. So it's one of the mumim of a kohen to be left-handed. But in other words, if the kohen were to be accepting the blood with his left hand, so the Tanakhama says that's avoda psula, and Rabbi Shimon says it's kasher. Meaning, of course, lechachil should be doing it with the right. But if you accept the blood with your left hand, according to Rabbi Shimon, it is acceptable. Keep up with small puzzle, Rabbi Shimon Machshir. Tanu Rabbanan be'etzba v'lakach. Now the Gemara over here is just simply picking out words from the pasuk. The pasuk reads. I'm looking at Rashi for the pasuk. Rashi be'etzba v'lakach tichsiv v'lakach akol midam achatas be'etzba'o v'nasan al karnos. Now you look carefully at the pasuk, and you'll notice the following. The pasuk over here is describing actually two avodas. V'lakach hadam, a kohen hadam is talking about the kabbalas hadam. That's the accepting of the blood, meaning after the animal shechted. The end of the pasuk it's talking about v'nasan al karnos. So that's zrikas hadam. Now we're talking about the chatas. So the chatas, they don't sprinkle it, meaning it's an application. You take your finger, you dip it in the blood, and you apply it to the four corners of the mizbeach. But okay, but that's for our purposes. Well, it's called zrika. That's the avoda. So in other words, there are two avodas mentioned in this pasuk. And in between, sandwiched in between these two avodas, is the word be'etzba'o. Now, all that means simply is a finger. Torah does not say whether it belongs to the right hand or whether it belongs to the left hand. And so, now, the Gemara is going to discuss. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes a braisa. Be'etzba v'lakach. Malami shalote kabbalah ella b'yamin. So that teaches us that kabbalah has to be done with the right. Be'etzba v'nasan. Malami shalote nesina ella b'yamin. So the Tanakhama says, it says the word etzba, sandwiched between the two avodas, so he's making the following assumption. Etzba by definition means the right. Now how does he know that? We're gonna resolve that question a little bit later. But he knows that etzba means right. And he also knows that it's going on both Kabbal Saddam and Zrika. I'm Rabbi Shimon v'chin emra yad b'kabbalah. Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't say the word yad when it comes to the accepting of the blood. Ella be'etzba'o v'nasan. Shalotei nesin ella b'yamin. So ho'el v'lo nemer yad be'kabbalah kibah b'smo kasher. Rabbi Shimon says, look, it only says it regarding zrikas adam. And again, we're talking about the chatzos over here, so that's why we're going to keep saying the word nesina. But same idea. It only says it by zrikas adam. It doesn't say it by kabbalah. Therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, you do kabbalah. If the kohen were to do it with his left hand, it would be acceptable. Now the Gemara says, now I am confused by the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon mima nafshach. I isleg zereshava kilo nemar yad b'kabbalah mayhave. The ileseg zereshava ki nemar yad b'kabbalah mayhave. Look, really, I should explain this better when we did the Tanakhama. Like, what does the Tanakhama know that we don't know? And the answer is the Tanakhama holds of zereshava. We haven't seen the zereshava yet. It's coming at the end of today's daf. The zereshava is going to teach us that anytime you have the word etzba or yad, by definition, it means right. And we know that based on Xereshava. So therefore, according to the Tanakhama, who holds the Xereshava, so it says the word etzba, we know that means right, and it's sandwiched between two avodas, Kabbal Saddam and Zrika, so therefore, both of them have to be done with the right hand. That's the Tanakhama. Rabbi Shimon, do you subscribe to the Xereshava, or do you not subscribe to the Xereshava? So if you subscribe to the Xereshava, so then you should conclude like the Tanakhama. And if you don't subscribe to the Xereshava, so then the Torah just simply says the word etzba, and it doesn't say right or left, and both avodas can be done with the left. And what Rabbi Shimon is making is a split decision. Kabbalah Saddam can be done with the left hand. Zrika Saddam only can be done with the right hand. I don't understand, Rabbi Shimon. If you subscribe to the Xereshava, so then they both should be done with the right hand. And if you don't subscribe to the Xereshava, so then there should be no difference. Both of them can be done with the left. So the Gemara is going to have a number of approaches in explaining Rabbi Shimon. Let's start. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, our first approach. Olam leisei gzereshava. Rabbi Shimon does not hold the gzereshava. V'chi kamar v'chi nemar yad yamin b'kabbalah hovelo nemar yad yamin b'kabbalah kibbal b'smol kasher. And this is how to understand the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. When the Torah does say yad yamin, but it only says yad yamin, I'm sorry, v'chi namar yad yamin b'kabbalah, sorry, rhetorical question. Does it say yad yamin by Kabbalah? Rhetorical question. The answer is it doesn't. Hov lo namar yad yamin b'kabbalah, kibbal b'smol kasher. So amalei, rabbi, so rabbi says to Rav Yehuda, wow, do I not follow your point? So yahachi afil nesina nami. Well, if it doesn't say Yad Yamin, it doesn't say it by Kabbalah. It also doesn't say it by Nesina as well. And meanwhile, very clearly, Rabbi Shimon requires Nesina to be done with the right hand. Va'od, and question number two, V'chilesa le Rabbi Shimon gzir shava, V'atanya Rabbi Shimon amar kamakam shenemar Yad eino el yamin. Etzba eino el yamin. And we know that Rabbi Shimon holds the gzir shava, because Rabbi Shimon has a statement, which is that the Torah says Yad, it means Yamin. The Torah says Etzba, it means Yamin. And the only way you arrive at that conclusion is because of the Gzeira Shava. So, Ella, Amarava, La'olam Islay Gzeira Shava. So Rava therefore concludes that it must be that he holds of the Gzeira Shava. V'hachi kamar. V'chi namra Yad b'kabbalah, hovelo namra Yad b'kabbalah, Ella Etzba, V'i Esher l'kabbalah b'etzba, kibba b'smol kasha. Oh. So he says like this. When the Torah, again, we're going back to that same pasuk, V'lakach ha'kol midam ha'chatos b'etzba oven asan al-karnos. Now, yes, there are two avodas mentioned in that pasuk. And the word etzba is in the middle. Is the etzba going on Kabbalah Sadam or is it going on Asina? Well, let's consider. It's a really good point. We're just talking about a finger. Can you do Kabbalah Sadam with a finger? No. You can only do Kabbalah Sadam with a hand. So therefore, when the Torah is demanding etzba, and it's between two avodas, well, which one does it make more sense that it should be going on? Shouldn't it be going on Nesina? Because that you do actually with your finger. Huh. So that's why Rabbi Shimon says that Etzba is only going on Nesina because you're not doing Kabbalah Sadam with one finger. To which the Gemara says, well, let's be a little bit creative. Amar le Rav Sama Bered de Rav Ashla Ravina Esher David le Ozen Lesfas Mizrak Umekababa. You can't do Kabbalah Sadam with a finger? Sure you can. In other words, take a mug, not one of those, but in other words, take a mug with a handle, and so just simply loop your finger into the handle, and you can do Kabbalah Sadam with one finger. So the argument of how can you do Kabbalah Sadam with one finger, the answer is with a little creativity and with a handle to the Kli Sharis, so that would be fine. Ella Amar Abaye, so now turn to the top of the next Amud. So Abaye says, B'mikra Nidrash Lefanav Ula Achrav Kemiflagi. Gemara says, look, you're right. In other words, when all said and done, there's no compelling argument that Etzba is going on the latter as opposed to the former, not in terms of how it's done, but the Abaye's explanation over here is really simple. Look, I have two avodas, and sandwiched between them I have the word Etzba. And Rabbi Shimon agrees that Etzba means the right. But in other words, is it modifying that which is before, is it modifying that which is after, or is it modifying both? And Abaye says that's the machlokus over here. According to the Tanakhama, the Etzba is modifying both. Both that which is before, meaning Kabbalah Sadam, and that which is after, and that's the Nesina. Rabbi Shimon says, no. It only modifies that which comes after, not that which comes before. Etzba is only going on the Nesina, not on the Kabbalah Sadam. Amar Abaye, Had Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. The Gemara now is going to introduce us to a third opinion. So we have so far. Tanakhama's opinion is that every avoda has to be done with the right hand. Doing it with your left hand is an avoda psula. Rabbi Shimon says that the Kabbalah Sadam can be done with the left. And admittedly, Zrika has to be done with the right, but Kabbalah Sadam can be done with the left. And now the Gemara is going to introduce us to a third opinion, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. Oddly enough, he's the son of Rabbi Shimon, but he's going to take a third opinion. Mafka medavu, mafka medarabanan. He argues with his father, he also argues with the Chachamim. He represents a third opinion. Detanya, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, Amar, Kamakum Shinamar Etzba, Bikabbalah, Shina Bikabbalah Pasal. If I have the word Etzba as it relates to Kabbalah, so then, any type of deviation, meaning if I do it with my left hand, Pasal. Binesina, Kasher. But if I do Nesina with the left hand, it would be Kasher. The Chamakum Shinamar Etzba Binesina, now, if it says the word etzba as it relates to Nesina, so Shina ben Nesina pasul, so that now means that a deviation, meaning your left hand, would be pasul, and bekabbalah kasher. Veheicha namar etzba ben Nesina. Now, where do we find this? Meaning, where are the psukim? So, when it says Nesina as it relates to etzba, it says, v'lakachta midam apar v'nasata karnas mizbech. Be'etzba echa. You take from the dam apar, this is talking about the miluim, the inaugural days when we're inaugurating the Mishkan, so you take v'lakachta midam apar v'nasana karnas mizbech be'etzbaech. So you apply it with your finger. So there we have a nesina in reference to an etzba. V'kasavr mikrash nidrash lefanav v'lo lefnei panav u'la'acharav. And in terms of what it modifies, you know what it modifies? That which comes immediately beforehand, but not any step before that, and not after that. So we have the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who really takes now a third position, that it actually is modifying not which comes after, but that which comes before. Our three opinions in summary is, the Tanakhama says that the word etzba, which is clearly the right because of Gzeres Shava, which we've yet to see, so, and that tells us that it's going on before and after, and therefore every avoda, both the Kabbalah Sadam and the Zrika, have to be done with the right, done with the left is possible. The opinion of Rabbi Shimon that Kabbalah can be done with the left, and the Nesina has to be done with the right, and he bases it on the fact, again, I'm giving Abai's explanation, which is the last explanation of the Gemara, and that's based on the fact that what Etzba is modifying is that which comes after, not before. And then the third opinion says Abai, in that of Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, who says that, no, it only modifies before, not after. So therefore, Etzba is modifying the Kabbalah Sadam, that's before, not modifying the Nesina, which comes after, and with a notable exception of the Miluim, where it's just the opposite. The Etzba is focusing on the Nesina, therefore on Miluim, Nesina has to be done with the right, not with the left, but the Kabbalah can be done with the left, and that wouldn't be possible, according to Rebbe Elazar and Rebbe Shimon. Okay, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with more, finishing up the sugya of right-left, and we start a new mission tomorrow.